There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Hollywood Casino in Charlestown, West Virginia. April's featured entertainment includes Los Lobos on the 12th, Josh Turner on the 13th, and The Steel Woods on the 26th. Details and tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Martin Cove of The Karate Kid and his son Jesse Cove of Cobra Kai star together in the new Western flick Far Haven, which makes its linear TV premiere on the INSP Western Network on Sunday, April 14th. They join me to discuss the film as well as their all-time favorite Westerns, from Tombstone to Red River to The Searchers. We also talk the 40th anniversary of the 1984 classic The Karate Kid, where Martin famously told Johnny to sweep the leg. Hey, Martin and Jesse Cove, hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in DC.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's cool to have both of you on at the same time. We're talking your new Western film, Far Haven. It makes its linear TV premiere on INSP Sunday, April 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, before we dive into that, I just noticed as I was researching this, I'm a twin, and I know Jesse is one of your twin boys, born in 1990. I was actually born in 84, the year of the Karate Kid. So, real quick, Martin, what's the hardest part of raising twins? And Jesse, what's the best part of being a twin?
Wow. Go ahead, Dad.
Well, we were trying for 5 years to have children. And then we finally had twins, and my wife was carrying around 14 pounds of baby for a long time. I mean, 14 pounds of baby. And it was great. And anytime we'd wheel the stroller around, the double stroller, and people would say, you know, some wise ass would say, oh, double trouble, huh? You know, as you're walking in the supermarket or whatever. And I never felt that it was ever double trouble. I felt it was double the good times, lots of laughs. They always entertained each other. These kids were so much fun. You know, when they were 8 months old, I did a movie in London, and I slept them on the plane. And I took them to Kew, and we had an apartment there, and we did, you know, a movie there for 2 months. And they were 8 months old, and we had a flat, and they were just a gas. You know, and so they've been traveling since they're 8 months old, and they've never been a problem as far as I'm concerned.
Nice. How about you, Jesse? What's your take on growing up as a twin?
Oh, it's so much fun. You're never truly alone. You know, you have a friend always. It's a very special connection. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know from experience, for sure. Well, thanks for indulging me on that one. Let's talk your Western, Far Haven. I know what it's about, and you do too, but tell our listeners real quick the basic premise of, you know, after serving in Yuma prison and the wrongfully accused Hunter Braddock. Give us the basic setup.
Well, Hunter Braddock, played by Bailey Chase, he was, like you said, he was accused of being a deserter, but in fact, he was only trying to save a Native American family from being slaughtered. And so he went to prison, and then he comes out of prison, and everybody thinks he was a bad guy. And then, you know, he ends up, you know, revisiting his family and where I work on the farm. And then there's a bunch of, like, you know, unfortunately bad things that happen in the town, and it may or may not have been pushed by my dad's character. And Hunter and I end up, and I play a character named Clay. We end up going to, you know, hunt down these bad guys. And it's just it's a fun, gritty Western. There's great shootouts. And everybody loves a good Western shootout. And, you know, it was a really fun movie to make. We shot it in Tucson, Arizona.
Awesome. Yeah, it's set in Farhaven, Arizona, but shot in Tucson. So your character's Clay Cassidy. You said that your dad may or may not have been. Elaborate on that real quick.
Well, I can't elaborate too much.
He doesn't want to give too much away.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Martin, tell me about your character, Ambrose Massey, at least.
Things that happened that he may have been the puppeteer for.
Ah, I see. A little behind the scenes, pulling the strings. A little De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, behind the scenes stuff. Hey, whoa, Ambrose. Tell me about Ambrose, without spoilers, but why is that a juicy sort of puppeteer character to play?
Well, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, and we shot in a place that I really liked that they did a lot of Tombstone at, and was Metzgal. So it's a little town, you know, and there's a lot of history there that we walked around saying the lines from Tombstone as we're in the same location. And some of the buildings are still up there for when they did Tombstone, which was such a good movie. Jesse and I would walk around and say, you know, the lines that we remembered from the movie, leaning against the same wall of a saloon that Kurt, you know, or Val Kilmer did, you know.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, that Cowboy Network, there's a Cowboy Network there, and it's wonderful. And INSP is, you know, a bunch of cowboy lovers. And that's what they make. They make a lot of those movies. So it was always fun to work with people who love the genre. And it's my favorite genre. And thank God for its resurgence now. And to do it with my son was a gift. You know, he's a good shooter, and he loves the West. He looks good in the costume. And I was a guy who was kind of frustrated. I didn't get a chance to do a lot of the normal Marty Cove shoot 'em up stuff. I was pretty much a businessman, you know? So it was a lot of fun and well written. So it was good to do.
I'm your Huckleberry, Martin Cove.
Yeah,
I love that.
You know, Tombstone's great.
From your mouth to God's ears, to get to do a script. The closest we could get to Tombstone was walking in the locations, spewing their lines, you know?
I mean, come on. What a great Wyatt Earp Doc Holliday movie, man. Well, there was a really good old John Ford one, too, My Darling Clementine. There's been a bunch of them. But, yeah, Tombstone's iconic. Just celebrated, 30th anniversary last year. Hey, that sparked a question. Do you have, when you were shooting this, do you have any father-son duos, like, in a Western? Or even if it's not a real father-son, but, like, a father figure? I mean, I always think of, you know, maybe, you know, the little kid, Brandon DeWitt, looking up to Alan Ladd and Shane, or, you know, I guess Red River and the Searchers. There's some like father figure type figures that emerge during the movies. But do you have any favorites that maybe you were touching on when you were in your mind when you were shooting this?
Well, you know your history on Westerns, and we're impressed.
I should watch INSP.
Seriously.
Yeah, but My Darling Clementine is so full of fallacy, you know. It's like, you know, Doc Holliday didn't die at the gunfight, okay, corral. But it's a good movie. I mean, you know, when I actually My Darling Clementine, right. Henry Fonda, when I did my part in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I had my feet up on a post.
Exactly.
In the very beginning of the movie. And Tarantino, you know, he said, put your feet on the post, just like Henry Fonda did in that movie, at, when he's just sitting in town. And it's a moment that, you know, movie buffs know. And he put his feet and dancing with his feet against the post while sitting on a chair. And Quentin says, I put my feet up there. And he says, no, but you can't do the dance. And I said, why? Henry Fonda did it. And he says, wow, you know that, darling, My Darling Clementine? And I said to him, what do you think? You're the only guy who knows moments in Westerns?
You know? And he you need to have that shorthand knowledge ready to go. That's what the greats do. You need to have the knowledge in there, right? So you can just pull it, those acting moments.
Yeah.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I mean, and now, you know, Jesse does this shit. He does the stuff in the movies that's a lot of fun that we all remember from Magnificent Seven, or we remember from the Gunfight OK Corral. And, you know, Jesse does some fanning in Farhaven that's really cool, you know. And it's just stuff that comes out of what the movies we've seen in the past, and you emulate them as much as you can when you're doing something, you know, in the same genre.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm talking so much. Go ahead, just answer his question.
No, you answered it. It was great.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. I mean,
my character in Cobra Kai is this year, I'm adapting it from The Searchers character, Ethan Edwards, you know, and it's just really interesting to go that route and watch the movie over and over again. And
that'll be, you know, the day, man. If you watch the first 20 minutes of Searchers, I'll never forget my mind. But I watched the first time. I was like, okay, cool, cowboy and Indian Native American movie, like my grandpa would watch on a Saturday. You know, and it was fun. First, I thought it was just superficial roller coaster, right? And then I remember like a film professor one time going back and, you know, stepping through the first 10-15 minutes of that, and I'm like, oh my god, the way the characters are positioned in the symbolic quote unquote mise en scène of, you know, you really break it down, and John Ford is like, you know, telling a whole other story underneath the surface with Ethan and Martha. And you know what I mean? Like, there's layers in that movie, man. Ford was a genius.
Yeah. It's really one of those highly studied pictures, and so many opinions, so many different things about The Searchers, because my favorite was Red River.
Great.
And it wasn't The Searchers. But after I read so much about these people talking about The Searchers and how was, you know, John the best Western ever, I got more interested in it, read more about it, and it's now just as good as Red River. But you have to, you really, it's, I would say, it's, I don't know which one's better of John Wayne's performances, but they're both really rich and easily the best things he's ever done.
Well, and Howard Hawks in Red River directing. I love when those close-up montage of all the cowboys getting ready to do the ride and then going, ha, ha, you know, heading off on the cattle drive.
Take them to Missouri, Matt.
Take them, yeah, and young Monty Clift, A Star is Born on that movie. But, hey, I'm going to – my listeners will kill me if I don't at least ask one question. You mentioned Cobra Kai about the Karate Kid.
What movie is that? I'm just kidding.
But hey, it's the 40th anniversary, of course, because it came out in 84, and it's been one of my comfort movies. Maybe I was born that year, I don't know, but I love it. But Martin, of course, you played John Kreese, the antagonist, training Johnny Lawrence, telling him to sweep the leg against Ralph Macchio's Daniel, trained by Mr. Miyagi. What's like the line that most people come up to you? Is it sweep the leg, or is it wax on, wax off, or, you know, what's like the big pop culture thing that you're almost tired of people coming up and asking you, the line they quote to you the most?
I think, you know, there's a couple of them. There's mercy is for the weak. And then there's no mercy. And then the one I personally love the best is Cobra Kai never dies. I just love that line. And when we do cameos and things, we always throw that in there. Cobra Kai never dies. You know, it's kind of like the last thing you leave someone with when you're saying goodbye, you know, as the character. So it's fun. You know, it's really fun. And, you know, I'm a fan, as Jesse knows, if it's not on the page, you know, if the written word's not on the page.
Yeah.
That piece was written so well by Robert Kamen. You know, he's doing Karate Kid the musical, and that they're going to have it on Broadway. And it's just, if he did not write that script and structure it the way he did, we wouldn't have all this today. You know, it was really the writer. And I give so much credit to writers these days, you know, because if it's not on the page, you can't act it, you know?
So did Kamen had the crane kick in the script? Like all that was in the script? Or is that John G. Avildsen? You know, he had just done Rocky less than a decade before, Best Picture and all that. But you're saying that crane kick and all those lines were in his Kamen script?
No, the crane kick was not there. The crane kick is totally illegal. There is no such thing as the crane kick. And only in the last 10 years, I think, as society realized, and you know, that it was an illegal kick. It was a Hollywood manufactured kick that something had to be done. It was created by one of the stuntmen, and it worked. It just worked. And, you know, it was a very difficult ending, and that worked as an addition from a stuntman. And everybody bought it. And only until the last 10 years do they realize, as we go to different autograph shows and all that, people talk about it, and they say, you know, and I always said the real Karate Kid was Johnny Lawrence. And I've always kept that for all these years because the kick was an illegal kick. And it's kind of a joke that we play with Ralph and all that, you know. And but it was an illegal kick, and it wasn't originally written in there, you know.
Awesome. Well, everyone check out Farhaven and, of course, Cobra Kai, where, you know, you both are in that together. So, hey, thank you so much. I love talking Westerns with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.